Well,
I think it's safe to say that spring is here. Am I safe in saying that? No more snow coming? Okay. Good. Well, with spring here, I want to look. Beautiful day yesterday. See who was outside most. Working a lot. It's pretty tired this morning.
All of a sudden, everybody perks their head up, so I don't pick on anybody. But spring is just a beautiful. I want to say it's my favorite time of year, but it's close. I have some other reasons. I like the fall pretty good, but spring is just a beautiful time, and I think we can hopefully all agree on that. We get to see the colors come alive, and just life. You know, the flowers. Oh man, flowers are starting to bloom, and we get to see the beauty that brings, the nice green lawns. Heard some mowers running this week, trimming up the grass real nice, and the animals. This time of year is when the wild animals give birth, and we'll get to see new little baby deer, and we saw some geese yesterday in Kevin's dad's, right by the pond, some nice little baby geese there. So I don't know if anybody noticed anything like that, but it's just a beautiful, beautiful time of year, you know. The tractors were in full swing this week, you know, seeing them out there working the fields, and I heard some people in their gardens, and Reese got our garden all nice and tilled up this week, but many of us are getting quite busy doing things, because spring does bring more work with it, to get all those things so we can enjoy a harvest later on in the summer and the fall, and we can get almost too busy sometimes planning. Because it takes more than just taking a seed and throwing it out and watching it grow. And those of you who have read the scripture for today already, John 15, 1 through 8, might be starting to think now, well, it talks about vines and pruning. So why isn't he talking about growing grapes and trimming them? Well, the fact of that is, I've never grown grapes, and I know we have some people here that does a very nice job of growing grapes. So if I try to explain it, I'd just mess it up. So I'm going with what I know, and that's putting seeds in the ground and watching them grow. But it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot to get a seed to produce. And those of you who have had gardens and farm, you understand what I'm talking about. It takes preparing the soil. You got to start there, and it, you know, most of the big farmers were clear back in the fall picking their seed out and then figuring out what field to put it in. Now they're getting the seed beds ready, spending hours and hours on the tractors going round and round, or even in your garden, tilling it up, getting that soil, that seed bed perfect. And then there's also fertilizer you got to add. And there's lots of different ways to do that, but you got to put nutrients in the ground to get that seed to produce the good fruit that you're asking it, that you're hoping it produces. You need a good weed control program. You need some things that are outside of your control too. You need some heat, some sunlight. You need that soil temperature to come up. You need God in there even to help make our little plants grow to produce a harvest later on. There's no doubt, I don't think anybody can deny that it takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of hard work to get fruit. By fruit, I mean any type of crop. It takes a lot of hard work. And today's passage talks about fruit. And it reminds us that it takes a lot of hard work to produce fruit for God as well. And sometimes when we focus on that, and we get this hard work going because we got to do this, we got to produce fruit for God, that we lose sight of the big picture, and we almost get so busy that we don't take time to spend some time with God. And there's three things we're going to look at today from the passage. And number one is that we cannot produce spiritual fruit without God. We can't do it on our own. Number two is we cannot produce fruit if we don't remain in Jesus and Jesus living in us. And the third is right at the end of is verse 8 today, and I'm going to read it here in a minute. The third gets me excited because it says when we produce fruit, we pretty much make God smile. That should get us excited. So let me read John 1 or John 15, 1 through 9. If you have, you want to follow along, turn with me. But it says, I am the true vine. And this is Jesus talking. These are the red letters in your Bible. This is his words. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We cannot produce fruit without God. That's what this passage is telling us. Part of it is telling us we cannot produce fruit without God. And God, the way I read it, God is the gardener, the almighty gardener that prepares the seedbed, that prepares the soil, that takes care of everything to get that seed, to get the seeds in us grow. And Jesus is that vine. So what all does a gardener do? We talked about it a lot already, that he has a lot of planning and preparation up to get even, the harvest is so far away from now that it takes so much to get there. Hours on the tractor, providing nutrients for that plant. Well, have you ever stopped and thought that maybe God does that for us in our lives? Takes time preparing the places we will end up in our life. I can say without a doubt that he took a lot of time, well, in his eyes it probably wasn't much, but to prepare this place for me and to prepare my heart to be here. God was in that. That's the part of God being our gardener, preparing what we're going to come across in our future. Not only does he prepare the place, but he prepares us. God prepares us by placing things in our path as we walk through life. Some things are the mountaintops. And some things are the valleys, like in the poem I read to start the service. Education prepares us. Our trials along the way, loss, the victories we experience. That's all to prepare us for what he has in store for us or what he's using us for. But a gardener does another thing too. Gardeners or farmers, we all protect those seeds we put in the ground. Not one of you would plant a garden, a big nice row of sweet corn, and know there's a big huge family of coon living real close because you aren't going to get a harvest. It's just a matter of fact. We have to protect. God protects his plants. He protects us. I can think of many occasions, things that have happened in my past, especially back home on a farm, that it's a miracle that I'm still alive. And a lot of us have probably had similar experiences, but it's part of God protecting us physically, but also spiritually. Every day there's battles. The Bible even says that the spiritual battles go on that we don't even know about. That God is fighting these battles for us. His angels are fighting these battles because our Father is protecting us. The Almighty Gardener is protecting us from things we can't even begin to imagine. We protect our gardens from weeds taking over. God protects us from getting involved in things that we probably shouldn't be getting involved in. Things that we don't know about. He protects. I remember even last spring it happened. My dad grows strawberries, and I mean, we used to have huge fields as he was in his prime farming vegetables. But it never failed. Almost every spring, what happens as soon as the blossoms come out in the strawberries? The temperature drops, yep. And I remember even last spring, we got out all the tarps. Don't tell Mom, but we even got some bed sheets out to cover them up. But you have to protect them. We had to protect them to get the harvest we could. And the ones we didn't protect, when they'd grow, they'd be all shriveled up and ugly. Well, that would always go into our jam because we didn't waste them, but sold the good ones, kept the bad ones. But we protected them. That's what our almighty gardener does. God does for us. He protects us even when we can't see it. And we need to remember that and not forget it. And also, as he's protecting us, remember this. When we're experiencing the valleys and we're going through the struggles in our life, and we don't see no way out, and we just can't begin to imagine, why am I going through this? I can't do it anymore. God will not give you more than you can handle. And if you're in the middle of a storm, you're going to get through it if you turn to him. If you turn to him. If you turn to him. Verse 2 says a little bit about God trimming the things from our life that are no good, protecting us. But there's another part to that. It says also the branches that produce fruit, us, that's talking about as Christians, the branches that produce fruit, he will trim them away so you get more out of them. I think that's talking a lot about how us as Christians can get so caught up in things. One of my flaws is I don't like to tell people no. When somebody asks me to do something, I just say, yeah, I'll do it, and try to find the time. I think this is speaking to those of us like that who need to look at, even if it's a good thing, saying no. I can't do that. I don't have time to do that. I want to help, but I can't. I will stretch myself so thin that I won't have time to spend it with God. And usually, if you're like me, when you say yes to these things, all it does is make your life busier. And it gets to the point like it was with me last night. And I wasn't too busy yesterday, but I remember in the past with things, when my life got real busy, when I'd lay down at night, I couldn't shut my brain off. I couldn't go to sleep. Last night, I wanted nothing more than a good night's sleep. Big day today. We have the auction. I last saw the clock last night at 1:30, and then I saw it again at 5:15, because I couldn't shut my brain off. And the whole time I'm laying there and I'm praying, God, what are you trying to tell me something here? Because I find a lot of times that's what's happening with me. And it came to me this morning, right before I came up here, that it was telling me, just to remind people, how sometimes we can get so busy in life that we can't shut our brains off, that we can't focus, we can't shut our brains down and get good rest, and we never, and we are unable, when we're that busy, to find time to spend it with God. It's okay to tell people no. It's okay to trim things, to trim the good branches, to trim them back. Okay, here's my growing grape analogy. Drove about 2 months ago, drove up to Buffalo, New York. It was beautiful up 90, row after row after row of beautiful grapes growing. Or they weren't growing yet, but they were dormant, but nicely trimmed. And then get home, and that later that week, I was doing a little work in the yard here, and I noticed grapevines growing up into the cherry trees. And these things are huge and thick and ugly, and I know they're not the same type of fruit. They don't produce the same type of grapes. But I noticed, and it made me think as I studied this today, this passage, that those wild grapes that aren't trimmed, what eventually happens to that tree? They will grow up to that tree. They're going to try to get all the sunlight they can, and they eventually kill that tree. That tree that's bringing them life, because they're not trimmed, because they're not planted in the right spot, because they're not following what they should be, they end up killing the very tree that brings them life. God has designed us to be where he has ordained us to be. And he's done it in a way that when things come along, good or bad, we still need to pray. And we still need to let him take them things out of our life that keep us way too busy, to trim those things in order that we can be those beautifully trimmed grapes that produce tons of fruit. Instead of these big, ugly grapevines that end up not producing fruit, but killing the very tree that brings them life. We need to remember that God is constantly trimming things from our life, whether we realize it or not. And we need to be okay and accept that. Now, this brings me to the second point of today, that we cannot produce fruit unless we remain in Jesus. That's what verses 4-7 are all about. Remain, remain, remain. Remain in him. And so let's think of a vine. Jesus called himself the vine. The vine, the trunk, the stalk, whatever you want to call it. That's where all the nutrients is sucked up out of the soil, the moisture, the fertilizers, everything that plant needs, except for the sunlight, comes from the ground, comes up through the vine and out through the branches. The vine transfers these nutrients into the branches. Without the vine, the branches do not survive. Without Jesus, we will not survive. We can't do what God asks us to do without Jesus. The vine also provides strength. When the winds blow, when the storms come, when we're down in the valley, that vine, Jesus, is providing for us to get us through. So when the winds clear and calm down and the storms of life subside, we're still there. Because we held on to Jesus, the vine. The vine provides that strength and support we need. And it says right in there that Jesus, if we remain in him, Jesus is all we need. You know, John used remain in talking about Jesus in his gospel. He used it 40 times. John was pretty clear on that we need to remain in Jesus. He was driving that point home. And if you don't believe me, look at the epistles he wrote. It's in there 27 times. 67 times John tells us in his two books that we need to remain in Christ. It's a choice we get. And we get to make that choice every day when we wake up, whether or not we're going to remain and follow Christ or walk away. And we will bear no good fruit unless we remain in him. And we can do nothing without Christ when it comes to producing fruit. And in a minute, we're going to talk a little bit about that fruit. About that fruit. What is good fruit? Let's talk about it now. What is good fruit? When we read these verses, we so want to focus on, and I went there myself when I first read it, I so want to focus on getting people to commit their lives to Christ. That's producing fruit, right? It's not what this verse is talking about, though. Good fruit. Apples, strawberries, blueberries, some real good cherries in a pie down below us. No. But that's good fruit to us, right? Good fruit. The Bible tells us what good fruit is, what John is talking about here. Galatians 5:22. What's good fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I think I got them all. I even have my notes, but I was not sure. But that's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what John is talking about here. If you want to produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, remain in Christ. That's where it comes from. You can be nice to somebody, but this is so much more than that. Without Christ, and if you have Christ, this will shine through. It will ooze out of all your pores and every fiber in your body. You can't help but spill these out and share them. Share the fruits of the Spirit with those around you. We so often get caught up in fruit is getting people to commit to Christ. But what if God is just using us to prepare the seedbed? The hours and hours of work it takes for us to prepare a seedbed. What if God is using us to prepare somebody else's seedbed? Or we're the nutrients, or we're the drink of water along the way. It takes so much to produce a crop. God uses us. Just because we're not seeing the end product doesn't mean God is not using you to lead somebody else to Him. Remember that. Just because we don't see the end product does not mean God is not using us. Just because we don't see the end product does not mean God is not using us. Might be our kids raising, might be people we don't even know are listening, are watching. I had somebody contact me this week, sent me a message saying they really appreciate my sermons. Somebody that, I don't know if they've ever even been in this church, but they listen to them online and they've convinced some others to listen. I don't know how God's using everything I do. None of us know how He is, but He's using them. Let Him use us. Spill out that joy and that peace and that patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if we remain in Christ and let God trim away all the distractions of our life, we will be a force to be reckoned with when it comes to God using us to prepare someone else's seedbed. We bring, here's the third point, the fun part. The part that really gets me excited, because I love reading it. And you know, Chris read about Isaiah being scared when he was in the presence of God. I've thought of that before and how scary that would be. But then I read these and I get excited that yeah, when I do something, when I share the fruit of the Spirit, when I produce fruit on this earth, I might actually make God smile. I might bring joy to the God of this universe. That's pretty big. Verse 8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. Just smiling and saying hi to someone. Think of that. Just smiling and saying hi to someone might actually make God smile. Put a smile on His face. Being nice to someone when they don't deserve it. Talking to a stranger that you can tell is having a rough day. Having patience with a family member. All those might just bring a smile to God's face. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, thank you and praise you. Lord, thank you for your message this morning. And Lord, I pray that we can all go throughout this day and this week and the months ahead and share the fruit of the Spirit that's living within us. That people can see it, that even if we try to hide it, Lord, that it just oozes out of us because of who we are in you. And Lord God, trim those things from our life that are distracting us from you. Help us to recognize, even if something's good, help us to recognize when we need to say, I'm too busy. And Lord God, help us to remain in you. In Jesus' name, amen.